Morning Manna, April the 20th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to teach us from your word day by day. We're grateful for all that we have been learning, and we are thankful that you continue to guide. As we come today, we ask that you would continue to fill us with truth and understanding, that we might go forward and be powerful witnesses for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we've reached the fifth chapter of the book of 1 Timothy, and we begin at verse 1. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents. For that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayer night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. Well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation, because they have cast off their first faith, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion in the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment. And some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. In the book Great Controversy, in chapter 28, entitled Facing Life's Record, beginning at page 479 and paragraph 1, it says this, I beheld, says the prophet Daniel, till thrones were placed, and one that was Antichrist of days did sit. His raiment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and the wheels thereof burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. That is found in Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. There was presented to the prophet's vision the great and solemn day when the characters and the lives of men should pass its review before the judge of all the earth, and to every man should be rendered according to his works. The Ancient of Days is God the Father, says the psalmist, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. It is he, the source of all being and the fountains of all law, that is to preside in the judgment. And the holy angels as ministers and witnesses in number 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands attend this great tribunal. And behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away. The coming of Christ here described is not the second coming to the earth. He comes to the Ancient of Days in heaven to receive dominion and glory and a kingdom, which will be given him at the close of his work as a mediator. It is this coming and not the second advent to the earth that was foretold in prophecy to take place at the termination of the 2300 days in 1844. Attended by heavenly angels, our great high priest entered the Holy of Holies and there appeared in the presence of God to engage in the last act of his ministration in behalf of man, to perform the work of investigative judgment, and to make an atonement for all who are shown to be entitled to its benefits. In the typical service, only those who had come before God with confessions and repentance, and whose sins, through the blood of the sin offering, were transferred to the sanctuary, had a part in the service of the Day of Atonement. So in the great day of final atonement and investigative judgment, the only cases considered are those of the professed people of God. The judgment of the wicked is a distinct and separate work, and takes place at a later period. Judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? The books of record in heaven, in which the names and the deeds of men are registered, are to determine the decisions of the judgment. Says the prophet Daniel, the judgment was set, and the books were open. The Revelator describes the same scene, added, another book was opened, and which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Revelation 20 and verse 12. The book of life contains the names of all who have ever entered the service of God. Jesus bade his disciples rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Luke 10 and verse 20. Paul speaks of his faithful fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Philippians 4 verse 3. Daniel, looking down to a time of trouble such as never was, declared that God's people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And the Revelator says that those only shall enter that city of God whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27. A book of remembrance is written before God, in which are recorded the good deeds of them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Malachi 3 and verse 16. Their words of faith, their acts of love are registered in heaven. Nehemiah refers to this when he says, remember me, O my God, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God. Nehemiah 13 and verse 14. In the book of God's remembrance, every deed of righteousness is immortalized. There, every temptation resisted, every evil overcome, every word of tender pity expressed is faithfully chronicled. And every act of sacrifice, every suffering and sorrow endured for Christ's sake is recorded. Says the psalmist, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Psalm 56 and verse 8. There's a record also of the sins of men. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment, says the Savior. By the words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14, Matthew 12 and verses 36 and 37. The secret purposes and motives appear in the unerring register, for God will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. Behold, it is written before me, your iniquities and the iniquities of your fathers together, saith the Lord. Every man's work passes in review before God and is registered for faithfulness or unfaithfulness. Opposite each name in the books of heaven is entered with terrible exactness every wrong word, every selfish act, every unfulfilled duty, and every secret sin, with every artful dissembling. Heaven-sent warnings are reproofs neglected, wasted moments, unimproved opportunities, the influence exerted for good or for evil, with its far-reaching results, all are chronicled by the recording angel. The law of God is the standard by which the characters and the lives of men will be tested in the judgment. Says the wise man, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, for God shall bring every work into judgment. The apostle James admonishes his brethren, so speak ye and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Those who in the judgment are accounted worthy will have a part in the resurrection of the just. Jesus said, they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. And again, he declares that they that have done good shall come forth unto the resurrection of life. The righteous dead will not be raised until after the judgment at which they are accounted worthy of the resurrection of life. Hence, they will not be present in person at the tribunal when their records are examined and their cases decided. Jesus will appear as their advocate to plead in their behalf before God. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. For Christ does not enter into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. As the books of record are opened in the judgment, the lives of all who have believed on Jesus come in review before God. Beginning with those who first lived upon the earth, our advocate presents the cases of each successive generation and closes with the living. Every name is mentioned, every case closely examined. Names are accepted, names rejected. When any have sinned, remained upon the books of record, unrepented and unforgiven, their names will be blotted out of the book of life, and the record of their good deeds will be erased from the book of God's remembrance. The Lord declares to Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. And says the prophet Ezekiel, when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, all his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. All who have truly repented of sin and by faith claim the blood of Christ as their atoning sacrifice have had pardon entered against their names in the book of heaven, as they have become partakers of the righteousness of Christ, and their characters are found to be in harmony with the law of God, their sins will be blotted out, and they themselves will be accounted worthy of eternal life. The Lord declares by the prophet Isaiah, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Said Jesus, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. The deepest interest manifested among men in the decisions of earthly tribunals, but faintly represents the interest evinced in the heavenly courts when the names entered in the book of life come up in review before the judge of all the earth. The divine intercessor presents the plea that all who have overcome through faith in his blood be forgiven their transgressions, that they be restored to their Eden home and crowned as joint heirs with himself to the first dominion. Satan, in his efforts to deceive and tempt our race, has thought to frustrate the divine plan in man's creation. But Christ now asks that this plan be carried into effect as if man had never fallen. He asks for his people not only pardon and justification, full and complete, but a share in his glory and a seat upon his throne. While Jesus is pleading for the subjects of his grace, Satan accuses them before God as transgressors. The great deceiver has sought to lead them into skepticism, to cause them to lose confidence in God, to separate themselves from his love, and to break his law. Now he points to the record of their lives, to the defects of character, the unlikeness to Christ, which has dishonored their Redeemer, to all the sins that he has tempted them to commit, and because of these, he claims them as his subjects. Jesus does not excuse their sins, but shows their penitence and faith and claiming for them forgiveness. He lifts his wounded hands before the Father and the holy angel, saying, "I know them by name. I have graven them on the palms of my hands." The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. And to the accuser of his people he declares, "The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" Christ will clothe his faithful ones with his own righteousness, that he may present them to the Father, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Their names shall stand enrolled in the book of life, and concerning them it is written, "They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." Thus will be realized the complete fulfillment of the new covenant promise. "I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem." The work of the investigative judgment and the blotting out of sins is to be accomplished before the second advent of the Lord. Since the dead are to be judged out of the things written in the books, it is impossible that the sins of men should be blotted out until after the judgment at which their cases are to be investigated. But the Apostle Peter distinctly states that the sins of the believers will be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ. When the investigative judgment closes, Christ will come, and his reward will be with him to give to every man as his work shall be. What a hopeful scene being painted here to us today. The judgment is set. And for those of us who have asked God for forgiveness and have come and confessed our sins, and with an attitude of humility and repentance, we have made it plain before God all that we have done and the sorrow that our hearts feel having turned from his word. We ask that he would forgive. We ask that he would transform. And he has promised that if we come with sincerity, this is what he will do. Not only will he forgive, but he will give us that which we need most, the strength and the faith and the endurance necessary to stand with him. Today, why don't you come to Christ? Why not bring yourself before him? Why not stand in his presence? Why not ask for forgiveness? Why not allow him to do that which you cannot do for yourself? Look back at your life. See the things that have yet been unconfessed, unforgiven. Ask him, please, to remove that from you, that desire to do wrong. Ask him to give you the strength to hate iniquity and to hate sin, that you might love righteousness and walk according to his will. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to do for us that which we certainly cannot do for ourselves. We come with an attitude of humility and repentance today, asking that you would strengthen us that we might walk according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, April the 20th, 2020.